Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to the kitchen table. It has been a little bit of time, hasn't it? And my goodness me, have some things happened. A lot happening, particularly this week, the past 7 days or so, but even previous to that, we had the talk about the new hybrid regulations, which I haven't commented on yet, and I will do in this video. We had last week the breaking story by the marvellous David Evans about young Callie Rovanpera having secured already, according to David, a deal with Toyota for next year. I think it's highly possible. David is probably the best journalist in the WRC, and he rarely goes to print with something that he's not certain about. I think there are one or two questions over how perhaps the first season for Rovanpera might look, but we'll come to that later, because clearly there are bigger things going on in the world of rallying that we need to discuss. In particular, the furore that kicked off last week. You know, Mr. Adamo, as everyone knows, I am a very big fan of Mr. Adamo, the Hyundai boss. Why am I a fan of his? Well, because, you might sound a little bit big-headed, but he kind of reminds me of me a little bit. In that he is very emotional, he's very passionate about the sport, he very much speaks his mind, and he very much does what he feels is right. He's in a position not to have to worry about what other people think, to be honest with you. Perhaps I'm not. But wherever possible, I will say whatever I feel is right. Sounds a little bit big-headed, that, doesn't it? But that's why I like him, just because, you know, he really does do what he feels is right for the job that he's been given. Now, last week, oh, dearie me. So we've been toying with who is going to get that third seat for Hyundai, and it seems like a strange problem on the face of it, doesn't it? Because Hyundai have got more drivers than any other team. So why did they find themselves in a position where they were looking for a third driver for Finland? Well, that's really quite straightforward. You've clearly got Neuville and Mikkelsen. They will do Finland, no question about that. But your other two drivers, both Sordo and Loeb, don't enjoy Finland. Never have enjoyed Finland, neither particularly. Even Sordo off the back of that magnificent win in Sardinia. Not particularly keen on going to Finland. And that is what presented Mr. Adamo with a problem. Now, there was a lot of talk, wasn't there, that perhaps young Huttunen might be considered. Well, for me, that was never an option. Really never an option. And that's nothing against young Huttunen. He clearly has talent. He clearly has potential. But Hyundai were never looking for someone with talent and potential. Talent, yes. Potential, no. They need someone to do a job for them in Finland. And this, I think, is at the crux of the issue that we saw last week. The question mark is about the job that that person in the third car will be asked to do. They're not going to be asked necessarily to go out and win the rally. They're not really even, potentially, going to be asked to go and get a top four or five finish. They're going to be asked, I suspect, to put in a solid performance. To be that insurance against perhaps Neuville, who we know will drive through any number of problems. Doesn't matter how well that car is going, how unbalanced it might feel come Finland, and it might not, by the way, we'll come to that. But it doesn't matter. We know Neuville will drive 110% whenever he gets into that car. That is fraught with danger and potential problems. So if you've got a charging Neuville, you need a solid third driver. Mikkelsen, well, it's a bit up and down. A little bit up and down. We really don't know which Mikkelsen's going to come to the party. If Finland's a dry Finland, if the roads are consistent, if he knows what he's going to get from the car, Mikkelsen can perform there, that is for sure. But the problem Adamo had was, who does he put in that third car? Now, you know, David Evans again, sorry to keep not picking on you, David, but, you know, you are my inspiration for a lot that I talk about. But last week he said it's got to be Padden. This was, I think, on the Wednesday was the announcement, on the Thursday. Or it would have gone to print on the Tuesday. The announcement may have been on the Wednesday. It's got to be Padden. And on the face of it, that made sense. That made sense. It really did. But the announcement was made, and Craig Breen got that drive. Now, listen, did it come completely from left of centre. No, it didn't. No, it did not. Breen has been talking for some time to Hyundai. I actually saw him in Sweden last year on the Sunday evening. Didn't know he was at the rally in a car park. Bumped into him. I thought, is that really Craig Breen sitting in that car? And it was. Went to have a chat with him and he was playing it very low key. But he had been in Sweden to see the guys at Hyundai. What has Breen done this year? Well, he's done everything. He's won in different cars. He's jumped into cars he's never driven before. Short test, bang. No messing around. Breen is quality. Now, when the announcement came out last week, I said, good decision, Mr. Adamo. Good decision. Someone wrote to me and said, yeah, it is a good decision, Cole, but is it the right decision? And I had to sit back on my little break that I was having. I think, well, was it the right decision? You know, because let's weigh them up. Breen hasn't won a rally. Third in Finland. Clearly competing at a high level this year, even although he's been out the car and winning at a high level. Has he got the capability of jumping into the I-20 and going fast again? You'd have to say yes. Padden, on the other hand, a winner for Hyundai. Multiple podiums for Hyundai. In early December last year, was considered to be a driver good enough to drive in Finland. What's he done since? Well, he's driven in New Zealand, but he's driven bloody fast. I have to say, I was out at the Otago rally. He has no competition out there. This is the issue. And I think this may have been the issue that perhaps decided it, because it's the only one really that is obvious, because you weigh the two of them up on the balances, on the scales, and they're there. They're even. They're even. I don't think, yes, Padden knows the team, but brings a man who's gone exceptionally well in Finland. Padden has also gone well in Finland. He got Hyundai's best result. What, last year was it fourth? But I think they were incredibly even. But I think perhaps what tipped it in Breen's favour was the recent competition. You know, Padden's been winning, driving remarkably quickly, remarkably well. But Breen has been competing, and there's a difference. There's a big, big difference between driving fast and competing and winning. A very big difference indeed. And I think that is why we got the bombshell last week that Breen was back in. And it's great news. It is great news. Breen and Nagel have always had a remarkable relationship. And the opportunity for Paul to sit with Breen at a higher stage in his career. The last time he sat with Craig, I think they were in, were they in S2000 cars? Was it R5 cars? I can't remember. It was a long time ago. Wouldn't have been S2000s. It would have been R5s. You know, to sit with him at the highest level will be interesting. And I think they can do a job. I really do think they can do a job. Now, the response from poor old Hayden, well, he felt numb, didn't he? He felt numb and he felt rightly battered, I suspect. And, you know, we saw his response, and his response was one of emotion, which, again, I can fully understand. I can absolutely understand. You know, we all say things in the heat of the moment that sometimes we stand by. If you're Chris Meek, you very often stand by what you say in it, and that's why we love Chris Meek so much. You know, but occasionally you say things and you have to clarify them. And you know, Hayden's response to the news was heartfelt, and he felt it. He really did feel as if it was a personal, well, not an attack on him, but certainly a personal slight on his ability. Something's gone wrong there, hasn't it, in the relationship between the Hyundai World Rally Team and Hayden Padden. I don't know what it is. I really don't. But, you know, what we know is that Padden is massively committed. He is massively talented. He is massively capable. And for a while last week, we thought, well, it's all over. Where's he going to go? Where is Padden going to go? And then last night, we get another bombshell. Bombshell number two. Bang! It went off last week. Bang! It's going off this week again. Padden, with the backing of, I think it's Mr. Sinclair, he's like the chief executive officer, the MD of Hyundai New Zealand, with the backing of Hyundai New Zealand, has gone and got himself a Fiesta World Rally car for Finland. It's a commercial deal. He has some remarkable backers. Listen, he's a superstar down in New Zealand. He really is. And fair play to the guys at Hyundai New Zealand who have put the national interest, and I sound a little bit over the top, but it is the national interest. It's so important for a small nation on the other side of the earth that wherever they have world-class competitors, so important that the nation gets behind them and backs those world-class competitors. And what Mr. Hyundai New Zealand has done is he's put aside probably what is best for his company, which would have been to say to Paddon, forget that, you know, you go drive a Ford, you can forget the deal you've got with us, you know, how dare you? He didn't. He turns around, and it's one of the best things about this story, I think, and I was quite gobsmacked when I read it last night. He turned around and said, Paddon is a national sporting star. He is an international athlete. He is one of the very best in the world. Why wouldn't we, as Hyundai New Zealand, why wouldn't we back the Kiwi? And I think that's remarkable. I really, really, really think that is one of the biggest pluses in the whole Paddon story. So he goes back to M Sport, and what an opportunity he's got at M Sport. We know that that Fiesta works well. He will get a test in the car. He loves Finland. Talking about a top five finish, well, you know, it's possible. It's possible. But here's what I don't want to see. Here's what I really don't want to see. And even in the less than 24 hours that we've had, that was a good slurp, that, wasn't it? Let's have another slurp. Oh, fabulous. Cup of tea. Even in the less than 24 hours that we've had since the news from down under that Paddon is returning to the WRC in the Fiesta, even since then, we've had people beginning to build this up as a battle between Breen and Paddon. Listen, listen, listen. Let's not do that. Let's not go there, because it isn't a battle between Breen and Paddon. Oh, wouldn't it be great? We'd be rubbing Mr. Adamo's nose in it if Paddon goes and finishes ahead of Breen. No, absolute nonsense. These two drivers will start the event with quite different objectives. Paddon, to go as fast as he can, to finish as high as he can. Breen, well, we don't know yet what his objectives are going to be, but he will be for sure tasked with finishing the event. Now, it could well be, you know, I talked about perhaps Breen being the third insurance policy. Could be they switch him around with, it could be quite easily they switch him around with Andreas Mikkelsen, and that Breen and Thierry Neuville are the two that are allowed to go for it in Finland. We don't know yet, but as I say, two drivers, both with opportunities, but it's not a head-to-head. It's not a winner-takes-all. It's not a, I'm going to go and show you, Mr. Adamo, that I can still do this. I don't think that's right to build it up as that, and I'm already seeing an awful lot of talk of that. You know, what we have to bear in mind, two drivers who are supremely talented, two drivers who still have a chance of a seat next year. I genuinely think there is every opportunity. It'd be difficult to see them both getting full-time drives next year, but I think there's an opportunity for at least one of them, at least one of them, at least one of them next year. Where that opportunity might fall, who knows, because there's still an awful lot going on in the driver market for next year. But I wish them both well, and I think it's magnificent for the sport to see the two of them back in the World Rally Championship. Two of our, well, they're not our youngsters, because we'll come on to our youngsters next, but they're that kind of mid-level, aren't they? You know, you look at the likes of, I suppose, Ogier and one or two others, and they are our senior members, the Latvalas, the Meeks, senior members of the WRC. We then have our mid-level members, so the likes of Mikkelsen, Neuville, Tanak. I'm not talking about talent here, I'm talking about age. You know, and you would put, I suppose, into that bracket, you would certainly put Paddon, you would put Breen into there. And then we've got our youngsters coming through. Might want to add Huttunen into the youngsters if he does get the opportunity. He would certainly put Kalle Rovanperä into that group. So the story broke last week, didn't it? And again, there was a lot of talk. And there was no outright denial, which I found interesting. I certainly didn't see any denial. What I saw being talked about from both, I believe, Rovanperä and perhaps from Toyota, was rumours. They said, it's all rumours. It's all rumours. You know, when David writes something, there is always some kind of justification for it. I don't know. I haven't spoken to him. But here's what I think. I think he's right. I think a deal has been done. We've been talking about it. Let's face it. We've been talking about it for over a year now, perhaps 18 months, that Robin Perra was heading to Toyota. I'm talking about it for a long time. So perhaps the deal has been inked. Signatures, gone on the beautiful contracts. A deal has been done. Does that mean that Robin Perra will take either Meek seat or Latvala's seat next year? I don't think so. I genuinely don't think so. Why don't I think so? Well, because the stakes are so high, so remarkably high just now in the World Rally Championship. Hyundai, as we know, spending a lot of money. Toyota, as we know, spending a lot of money. They demand success. Now, there's every possibility that Toyota may not win anything next year. Now, last year was a remarkable season, quite a remarkable season. Latvala winning rally, where did he win? Australia, didn't he? And Tanak winning rallies, winning the manufacturers, incredible. It's all looking very close this year. And if things don't go Toyota's way, they might not win anything. So then we have to look at next year. And you have to say that with the stakes being so high, do we really think that they would blood a youthful driver, practically still a child, as the third driver from right at the start of the season when the stakes are that high? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think what we'll find, potentially, and again, it's not based on anything other than gut feeling and what we know happens with these big teams. I think what we'll find at the start of the year is he'll probably be in a fourth car for the likes of Monte Carlo and perhaps Sweden and perhaps then Mexico and one or two others. You know, you look back at Robin Perra's last two seasons and there's been a small pattern developing, and that pattern is it's taken them a little while to get into the season, particularly last season, but also this season. Would you have him down as a third point scoring car? I certainly wouldn't. So I can see every possibility that yes, he has done a deal with Toyota. Yes, it could be for a full-time drive. But as the number three driver, nah. I think he'll be a number four driver for the start of the season. If that happens, I think that it's possible Toyota could stay the same. It is also possible that any one of the three Toyota drivers could go. And that is where we then start to see things happening in terms of the driver's market. And it's why it's so important for both Breen and Padden and Mads Osberg and the others who have got aspirations to compete at the highest level again. It's so important that they prove what they can do in the car. It's all well and good saying what you can do, but words count for very little. Actions and deeds are what are being looked at. So, as I say, you know, it's all exciting. They're all in pair of stuff. If it's rumour, it's rumour. This fourth car hypothesis is purely that. It is a fourth car hypothesis. It's quite a good word, that, isn't it? Hypothesis. I've not used that since my school days. But that's all it is. And it would make sense to me, particularly as we are playing for the highest of stakes these days in the WRC. But I can't wait to see him, because I've got no doubt that Cali Robin Perra will be fast. He'll be really fast, really, really fast. He might need a few rallies, though, just to get himself dialed into that car and that level of competition. Now, the other thing I wanted to briefly touch on were the regulations, and we heard those talked about at the World Motorsport Council. That was actually during Rally Sardinia. We're going to go hybrid by 2022. It gives us couple of years almost to get there, plenty of time to get there. You know, rallying for me, I've said this before, so I won't dwell on it. I'm 100% behind hybrid. We will go probably electric within 10 or 15 years. We have to go that way. The issues that people talk about, sounds, all the rest, well, they can be sorted. They really can be sorted out. It's not beyond the wit of man. When you can make an artificial shutter sound in a digital camera, then there's no reason why you shouldn't have some synthesized throttle response in a rally car. It's not ideal. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'd much rather forever to be able to go and stand at stage ends and stand at the side of stages and listening to these wonderful engines that they've got just now. But that's not the future. The immediate future is hybrid. The ultimate future is electric. I say that, it might not be. Might be hydrogen. Is that the one they're talking about? I think it is, isn't it? You know, maybe something else. Something else may well come along. Who knows where we're going to be in 10 years' time. But the future is not combustion engines, turbocharged combustion engines, that's for sure. And, you know, we have to see it as a massive, massive opportunity. Listen, we know that we've got the capability to produce batteries that can project these cars around circuits at high speed for 40, 50 laps. They can do that. But can they produce hybrid cars that can deal with minus 30, minus 35 degrees in Sweden, plus 40, as we saw in Sardinia? You know, the rough, tough stages that Turkey, Sardinia, Argentina give us. These are the challenges that the car manufacturers face and that they relish, and that rallying is in a position to absolutely capitalize on. We can and we should and we will become the test bed for future technologies for road cars, because that's what rallying always was, and that's what it's going to become again. And yes, we will have to make some sacrifices, but they're not insurmountable, these problems that we've talked about. So I think it's a great move by the FIA. I think it's a great move that they've given themselves a fairly tight deadline, because, you know, strict deadlines do encourage innovation and they encourage hard work. You know, a lot of what is needed is on the shelf, and it will be pretty much, you'll be able to, they'll be able to be up and running and testing with it hopefully very soon. But it's great news, and we're going in the right direction. So there we are. Don't need to talk about the calendar, because really there's nothing to say about the calendar other than, fingers crossed, this very strange term that the FIA came out with, which was a competition rotation. Hoping now that we haven't talked about it for 2 or 3 weeks. Hoping that that's gone away. Hoping it's gone away. And that when we get some news about the calendar, it'll be great news. All I would say about the calendar is, you know, I think Mr. Ciesla is doing a fantastic job. And I remember once talking to Mr. Ciesla, and I'm sure he doesn't mind me repeating this. He said, look, you know, what we need on the calendar are events that are prepared to invest in their own event and invest in the championship. And I think if we stick to that criteria, we will get a fabulous calendar for next year and beyond. So there we are, folks. There is an awful lot more that we could have talked about, I'm absolutely sure of that. But we can't be sitting here for too long. I've got my cup of tea to drink. Don't forget, as always, and I'm going to remind you, because it has been some time, why am I drinking from my Oregon Trail Rally Mug? Not because it's my favourite rally outside of the World Championship. My joint favourite rally now. I've got one or two others. And I'm desperate to go back to the Oregon Trail, and we'll see if we can fit it in next year. But I met some people from Oregon on my recent travels, and it was very nice to meet them too. And they knew all about the Oregon Trail Rally, which was also really nice to see. I also met some Belgians who knew all about the Ypres Rally, strangely enough. You meet rally people wherever you go in the world, and it's a delight, always a delight to meet anyone. To meet anyone, any of you people who sit and watch the kitchen table, you know, if you ever see me on events, please come up to me. I know a lot of you do. And chat away. I always love the opportunity to chat to rally people. And again, I'm going to remind you, if you're watching this on Facebook, if you don't mind, a little share would certainly help me out. If you're watching on Facebook, share it. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like my channel or subscribe to my channel, and like the video as well on YouTube, because apparently, according to the people that know, that helps. So there we are, folks. It's been a delight. Been a long time since we caught up, but as always, thank you very much for sitting, watching, listening to me at the kitchen table.